So the text 51, I will just read the translation. By thus engaging in devotional service of the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they can become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. And 52, text, translation. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. So this is mainly related to, we are talking. Mm. About the work, right?
Yeah.
About whatever yoga or, you know, the work we do.
Mm.
How to be free from bondage. How to free. Basically, we work. So, how to get free from the bondage. So, that was the main, you know, the context. So, what was specific in text 51? What did you discuss in text 51?
Start with karma and then detach yourself from. This is the step, like karma ladder.
Like a yoga ladder?
Yeah, or yoga, yeah. So then detach from the result, and then third stage is doing bhakti, and the last one is back to Godhead.
Yeah, basically, everybody starts, you know, with some kind of work that we do. The fruit you are, then slowly we give up the mentality of the, you know, expecting the results.
Mm.
Then you just do it as a duty and you don't get attached to the results, right? Then the next level is the bhakti yoga, the one we are doing, right? Completely engaging yourself, completely engaging all the results in the service of the Lord, Supreme Lord. So there is a gradation, that's the, you know, the division. But even in bhakti yoga, there is a gradation. We discuss, you know, bhava bhakti, like prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, like the different gradation, based on the surrender. How much we surrender, it's based on that. So even in spirituality, there is a gradation. So that's called yoga ladder. So that's very good. That will be discussed, you know, in further, in more detail. And then, what else? And Prabhupada says, you know, the second paragraph, it says, owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place. What was that? That a very amazing Srimad Bhagavatam verse. We discussed that particular one. Samastritai padapallava palavam mahat padam punyasho murari bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yet vipadam.
Every step,
danger, and how to overcome that? What's the easiest process?
Surrender to the heart. So that, you know, the ocean of the samsara becomes like a hoof of the animal itself.
See, it's so simple, right? Because it's compared here to the ocean, and we cannot cross the ocean. Even if you are an expert swimmer, you will not be able to cross. You will get tired and you will drown. So instead of that, if you just surrender to Lord Mukunda, he can make that whole ocean into a small hoof, you know, where the water say hoof print, then it's easy to just step over, right? It's easy to step over. So that's how it is. It's not, you know, it's not flowery, this, it's a reality. That's why it's Bhagavatam, right? This, I think, Brahmaji is talking this, if I remember exactly. I think this is recited by Brahmaji. You know that Brahma Vimu, I forgot the past time. I think that time, you know, he was bewildered. Brahmaji was himself bewildered. He didn't, you know, he couldn't, how can a small kid, like a Krishna when he was a small, how can he play with, you know, all his friends eating, you know, laddu and all. He couldn't, he got bewildered. Then he stole all the cows and all, no, he cows covered by and he hid him in the, you know, cave. Then Krishna expanded into all other, you know, he expanded into, you know, Vishnu, 400 Vishnu forms. Like, you know, exactly like a cow, everything, you know. So that time he, you know, he realized his mistake. it's a Brahmaji, we are talking about Brahmaji. We are all very, very insignificant compared to Brahmaji. I think that's the time he was telling, you know. You just only solution is you just surrender to Mukunda. He can give, you know, you don't have to suffer. If I remember exactly the context. And what else? Anything else? Where did we discuss Vaikuntha? Somewhere we discussed, right?
Go back. Same verse.
Kunta and Vaikuntha.
So what is Kunta?
Miseries.
Vaikuntha?
No miseries.
No miseries. So that's why it's called back, going back to Godhead. So we should always be striving to go back to Godhead. And very specifically Prabhupada mentioned in this life itself, because we don't know the, you know, the modes are so strong. We don't know, you know, what danger we get, or, you know, because whatever, whenever we leave our body, right? So whatever consciousness we carry, we go to that particular, we take body according to our consciousness. So he told, you know, strive in this life, don't give up the opportunity, because, you know, you, something else when you're passing your body and consciousness, if you remember something else, you may not even get the human body. So then again you come back to the cycle of birth and death. So that's why, you know, he emphasized so much, just try this. You have so many previous lives, we don't even, immemorable, right? We cannot even remember millions of previous lives. So why don't you just give this one life to serving Supreme Personality of God? Just give one life. So that's the, and he said it in the urgency. He said it's a serious matter. If you really, you know, think over it, we should be all. Hare Krishna Mataji. Welcome back. So that's, yeah, that was what we discussed, and also service of the God, Karma Yoga, devotion to the Lord. So the next verse, text 52.
One quick question.
Yes.
51 only.
Yeah.
It's bothering me a little bit, that's why I thought let me ask you.
Please, you should clarify.
You mentioned that the yoga order is about work, detach and bhakti. Right? If I'm doing my work just for namesake and I will not achieve the result, unless and until I have passion, I have some attachment to the outcome, how will I work? Then how can I detach myself from that result?
No, you get detached from the results. Don't get detached from the work.
Okay.
Yeah, you work whatever, you know, passion. You can work because that's how our modes are, you know. So you work, you do as a duty, but what are you doing with the results? That's what it matters.
But always I have an aim, right? I want
of
to
course.
Achieve that. That's only I will drive, right?
Of
my
course.
Drive will come if I know what is my
of
outcome.
Course. Same thing with spiritual life also.
Yeah.
Same thing with spiritual life.
You have to change the aim.
No,
same thing with spiritual life also. We have a goal. We always strive towards it. So same thing at work. You know, you have a goal. But when did we discuss this one? Like, you know, art of yoga, right? I think in a couple of verses back,
okay.
Right? We discussed art of yoga. Means how to work, basically. How to work, also we discussed generally.
Okay.
So you cannot say, you know, I keep just working. Now, what is that verse called? Evadikaris karmani evadikaraste. We discussed in that.
Oh, that one, okay. Yeah.
That particular one line, right? So you cannot say, work is worship. Yeah, because that's what people, general perception is.
They will forget last line, right?
Second line, they will never include second line. For first line, they say work is worship. So that's not recommended. Work is worship, but what about the other line? That's also, you should include that also. So yeah, yes, you can work, but of course you need to have a goal, you know, in your career, you know, growth, whatever ladder you will have, career growth, please work on it. But not that, you know, you will end up saying, I don't have time for especially for chanting.
Okay.
If you say, I don't have 2 hours for chanting, because, you know, I can make more money or I can get one more extra position, that's not allowed.
Got it.
So you should be able to balance it's a balancing act. It's not
work
that, you know.
Balance.
Yes, yes. It's not that, there's no clear, one person can do, you know, very short frame of time, they can do a lot of things, because a lot of people do it very efficiently and, you know, very, so you should balance yourself.
Gotcha.
Yeah, at least the concept is, you do it as much, you know, don't make it work is worship. You do work as a duty, prescribed duty, and then you spend a lot of time on spirituality also. It's a balancing act.
Okay.
It's like a weighing, you know, that weigh thing.
Right.
So it's a very balance, and you should always work under guidance. Means, you know, otherwise it's easy to get carried away. Yeah, especially we have seen many people, they just start and, you know, after some time, maybe because of career ambitions, they completely give up. But especially I have seen many friends, my own friends who are here, I was here for a few years with them, they went back to India saying, you know, my kids, I have to take care, you know, there's a good environment for kids and all. And they were so close to chanting 16 rounds. They used to chant 16 rounds here. Then once they went back, they kind of, you know, slowly they kind of give up. Then once in a while we exchange emails, they say, we don't have time to even, you know, commute to work and a lot of social pressure, you know, they have to attend so many parties, all those things. So it should not be like that. So it should be focused on the spirit, because the material well-being follows the spiritual well-being.
Material well-being follows
spiritual life.
Yeah.
So once you are fixed in the spiritual life, then automatically the material well-being also follow. And Krishna promises that he will protect. It's not that, you know, you take shelter of him and he will abandon you somewhere. It's not like that. Krishna always protect. That's the verse we discussed, right? 1866. That's the last chapter. Mate, your name? Okay, the Namita sent you them. Yeah. So we did already. Yeah, yeah. You can continue with this one.
Sure.
But we did already the review at 6:30.
Oh,
but you can continue. Yeah, you are going to join this in. Yeah, please. Yeah, you are going to join. You have Bhagavad Gita?
Sorry,
you have Bhagavad Gita? You don't. So we can keep on. Yeah. So this one, yes. Yeah. I don't know. You can give that one. Yes. Later we'll give that one. So is it clear?
Yeah.
That's
in the letter, which all shall be work and then yoga letter.
Work, detach, and bhakti yoga.
No, it's just like, you know, you start working. First you are attached, then after that you give the attachment. Like you get detached from the results. So that's the next step. After that you become, you know, like bhakti, sadhana bhakti. You take up, you know, a lot of chanting, all those things. Then after that you can, that's higher level, prema bhakti, all those things. But there's just like a ladder where we progress. It's a progressive path, like, you know, we gradually progress. Then what else? 52, right? Yeah. What was the main points in 52? What's the dense forest? No, Vedas
delusion
is good. We need Vedas.
Delusion.
What section of the
karma?
Yeah. So if you cannot tell Vedas. Vedas is everything. Even the Bhagavad Gita belongs part of Vedas. Vedas is nothing but a knowledge. It's like, you know, knowledge. But in that particular section, it's karma kanda section of Vedas. Because most of them, we dwell into it and we get lost. Right? We do so many things. We discussed, right? Lot of rituals. Where did we see that one?
Second.
Like the Vedic rites and ritual are imperative on neophytes, comprehending all kinds of prayers. We discussed that. So once you get into it, the Karmakanda section, so you will be sucked. Right? So, and as we discussed, we don't have that much time and our duration is short. Our life, you know, duration is short. So we need to, you know, and Veda, who gave the Vedas? So the Krishna. Vedantakrit, Vedakrit. So we know the source. So why don't we directly worship the source? Right? That's the elevated process. Right? Does it make sense? Taking elevator or staircase? Of course, you know, if you want to do some exercises, you can go through the staircase. But you know, you are not body, so
you don't get
a lot of exercise. You need just control your diet. Controlling your diet helps. You know, doing some little bit yoga, controlling diet, that's a lot. I can do lots of things. So that's a dense forest, right? So, and we gave an example of who somebody was praying, right? Who was praying that? Madhavendra Puri. He just, you know, he doesn't have time. So, like, so he doesn't have a lot of times. And also we are, you know, he says, oh demigods, oh father, we are indebted to so many people. So we will be never able to fulfill. No, we'll never be able to pay back. Like we discussed, you know, the mother nature, our grandparents, generally in people around us. Because we know that, you know, to bring up a child, we need whole village. Right? You all agree, right? You cannot, on your own, you cannot do much. So you need a lot of people's help to bring up. But if you go, you cannot be able to pay all of them. Because you're indebted to them, you cannot pay. Only thing is, if you go to the source and satisfy the source, automatically the parts and parcels will also get satisfied. So that's the easiest and quickest recommended way in this Kali Yuga. Because we don't know when we are going to leave your body. We don't even know what happens next second. So a very, very, you know, uncertain. And Prabhupada very clearly says in that, but when one is fully in Krishna consciousness, and is engaged in this transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices as recommended in the revealed scriptures. And similarly, if one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Shabda Brahma or the range of Vedas and Upanishads. It's a little bit strong, but that's the reality. And they say, right, you can, instead of eating like this, go around, you know, beating around the bush and trying to eat different ways. So any questions until here? Text 52. It's warm?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can leave it a little bit open.
Yeah.
Anyway, not many people it's are in kids are in temple
yeah.
today. So
yeah. I was able to get parking, so
what is trouble? What happened to the
There is a Japa retreat.
Okay.
Chanting
okay.
retreat.
So there is
a lot of families.
Robotic class today? Yeah, there is. Yeah, class is also going.
Robotics should be there, but
okay.
most of the, you know, temple kids,
okay.
the regular temple kids, they're all gone.
Okay.
It's so peaceful and so quiet, right?
In
a good sense. Huh?
Parking.
Yeah, parking.
You got parking now, Prabhuji?
Yes. Yes.
I got
right now.
Still, there are many.
Amazing.
It's mostly
we should have more Japari trees on Fridays. Different trees. 1 day
or 3 days? This three is
3 days. Three.
3 days. Where are they gone? 2.5 days.
Vashanara?
No.
Fort Flagger.
Fort Flagger.
Where is it?
3 hours from here. That's what Namanratha Prabhu, Dharagra Prabhu told. 3 hours.
He is
I went
he
there
is pillar.
I
he cannot
there
go.
Because of some other things.
Yeah. He is pillar. If he goes, we'll all become shaky. The whole temple will start shaking. Okay, Prabhu. So, any questions until text 52? We finished. Yeah, we stopped until. Maybe you should ask one question to Saravanan Prabhu.
Yes.
Some email.
Okay. So, we'll go to 53. Text 53, let's recite the Sanskrit together. Shruti viprati panate yasasasti nishala samadva achala buddhis tadda yogam apsisi. Let's do it again. Shruti viprati panate yadasasti nishala
samadvaha charati tadyogam
kapah. Okay, who knows Sanskrit here? Very good Sanskrit.
Huh?
No, I have some assignment. If you, anybody knows, you know, proper the Sanskrit, you know, all the, what do you call the word?
I can read.
Not read, like you need to learn the meter. There is a very nice meter for this, reciting these verses.
Chanda, chanda.
No, to recite these verses, there is a proper meter, the way you pronounce it. If anybody knows, they can practice. It helps all of us, because I don't know.
So
I
read the Hindi one. If the Sanskrit one, is that not the flow?
No, it's a very nice flow. Actually, Sanskrit is a very nice flow.
Okay, because the Hindi, the English one is broken.
Yeah.
Right?
But then we don't know, we have to look like...
No, very nice, but maybe I will bring some recording actually.
Yeah.
Very nice, very soothing actually.
Sweet to hear.
But here, you know, we are breaking up the words because I don't know. That's okay, even I don't know, so that's why. Okay.
When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. Now to read it again to understand.
Yeah, when your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas. Okay.
Disturbed. When it remains fixed.
So what's the main, the translation is, especially the mind. So when your mind is fixed, when there is some duality or something, no, you don't get easily disturbed. Right? That's just, that kind of person is called Sthita Prajna, or who is fixed in the consciousness, divine consciousness. So that's what here, you know, the Krishna is saying. And you don't get attracted by the flowery language of Vedas. See, there is so much emphasis here on the Vedas, especially, you know, the flowery language, like the Karmakanda section.
All the material benefits.
Yeah, this is, of course, flowery language of Vedas, it's all material benefit. Because it's, our senses are so strong, you can get easily diverted. We may think we are, you know, kind of fixed in whatever spiritual practice we are doing. But when the opportunity comes, it jumps, believe me or not. When you see an opportunity where, you know, we can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure many of us will give up. If, for example, Prabhupada said, you know, if you have, instead of attending Bhagavad Gita class for 2 hours, if there is an opportunity to make $100 extra, he said most of the people, they go. No, that's how the material modes, and that's how our senses are. We are very much attracted. That's why, you know, Krishna is emphasizing so many times, and it's very rare, like, you know, very rare people take up the spirituality. Most of them, if you compare it to population here itself, right, there are thousands of people, but only few of us, you know, who come to really show interest and learn Bhagavad Gita. That only shows how strong the material modes are. Yeah, that's why we all have to be careful, you know. It's like always you have to wear that guard. Otherwise, anytime it's one mode comes and it, one mode, you know, modes makes you juggle. You know, most of us, we are in mode of passion or mode of ignorance. Very rarely we are in mode of ignorance, goodness. So then if these two modes are there, then you are predominated by these two modes. Then most of the time they control. Have you seen that puppet, how the three modes come? Try to control the living entity. Mm. You know, it's a very nice pictorial representation. Like, you know, with the ropes, one mode will be tied here, one mode here, like, you know. So they try to play. That's how material nature controls the living entity. One time the passion will be more, one time the ignorance. But whoever is, you know, the nature, whose nature is predominated by one mode, they are kind of that type of person, that type of living entity. Somebody is very passionate. That means they have more. They are in mode of passion most of the time, and same thing. Ignorance. That's very common. It's easy to find people in mode of ignorance, and goodness is very few people, you know, who take up, who are fixed. Anything, you know, if you read, somebody says, you know, you do this puja, you will get more money, or you may get good wife, good health, I'm pretty sure most of us, or maybe not all us here, because we are already finished DYS and we are into Bhagavad Gita, but most of the people will take up that process. They will do that puja. It's easy, and you know, you give some money, they will do. It's easy for them. They think they will get it. So that's why it's very lot of time it's emphasized on the Vedas. So we can always guard ourselves, so we don't get sidetracked.
What is the flowery language?
Flowery language is Karmakanda section of the Vedas. You do this,
to getting something.
You will get money.
Okay.
You worship Lakshmi, you get money. You worship Urvashi or something, you will get a good wife. That day is over now. Don't do all that. It's over.
If you will worship, you will get it.
Don't tell, I told all these things. Okay, we can do the purport.
To say that one is in samadhi is to say that one has fully realized Krishna consciousness. That is, one in full samadhi has realized Brahman.
Brahman,
Paramatma and Bhagwan.
So these are different stages of realization. So many people on the path, they try. So some people will go to Brahman. And Brahman is like you are hanging in a effulgence. And that's also spiritual platform. It's not that, you know, it's a material. They are beyond the material platform. They are in the spiritual platform. But there's just that they don't, you know, want to do the service. So they just want to, you know, stay in the spark. So for them, they stay, after some time, they lose interest because you're not engaged in service. And so then they immediately, you know, they realize and they can continue or they can fall back and, you know, they can, that's a different thing. Then Paramatma is?
Inside
your all. So Vishnu is present in a four-handed form. So every super soul present in everyone, every living entity, the art of every living entity. So once you realize that, you are much, you know, it's like different levels of realization. Then Bhagwan is
ultimate.
The complete, you know, the full personal feature. You go, as a, you know, you go, you engage in service, you play or whatever, you, different, the relationship you can have, Dasya, Sakya, you know, neutrality, all those things. So you can engage in any of that.
So Paramatma is the personal form or the impersonal form?
Oh, it's personal form. You realize Vishnu. You see the
Paramatma,
person.
The personal.
Yes, yeah.
There should not be no distinction between Paramatma and Bhagwan. Then.
No, you have to go to Bhagwan stage. Paramatma is not the ultimate realization. See, you just realizing Paramatma is in your heart, that's not enough. So you need to get engaged in the service.
Yeah.
So that's the Bhagwan is the full realization. Completely, you know, full realization.
But there is no, we cannot distinguish in between Paramatma and Bhagwan, that was
really. No, because once you are Bhagwan realized,
it's a one
Vishnu is present inside, but that's not full realization.
You're saying only Vishnu is present.
No, Vishnu is present within you, so you know that Vishnu is within art, you know you are a spirit soul, that's good. But the next level is, you want to get, you know, engaged in service. So that you try and you go back to God. That's where you can personally engage in the service. Yeah, any Prabhupada says in the next line. Yeah, you can read.
The highest perfection of self-realization is to understand that one is eternally the servitor of Krishna and that one's only business is to discharge one's duties in Krishna consciousness. A Krishna consciousness person or unflinching devotee of the Lord should not be disturbed by the flowery language of Vedas nor be engaged in fruitive activities for promotion to the heavenly kingdom. In Krishna consciousness, one comes directly into communion with Krishna, and thus all directions from Krishna may be understood in the transcendental state. One is sure to achieve results by such activities and attain conclusive knowledge. One has only to carry out the orders of Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master.
Very interesting. He says Krishna, right? Orders of Krishna or his representative. So basically they are, you know, so there is a Samsara Dava morning prayers, right? We recite every day Samsara Dava prayers. So in that said that, no, you cannot get Krishna without the mercy of
spiritual
master. and the other way also, the vice versa also, without the mercy of Krishna, you will not be able to get a spiritual master. So because everybody says, you know, oh, I will just worship Krishna, or I just, you know, I'm just concerned about Krishna and not about the devotees of Krishna. But Krishna, he always stays with devotees. He never stays alone by himself, right? Any pastime you take, there will be always devotees around.
We can pull this one, maybe more.
Last time we did, right? I think it's going on the face.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean the one of the jacket.
I'm not so tall.
Okay,
taller
than me. So,
you want to
go?
So,
just pull it down.
This one?
You pull it this one.
This one?
Yeah.
No,
the other way.
Oh,
the
closer.
The sun is coming over here.
This side.
Yeah.
I will pull this down. You keep.
Yeah, leave it down. More.
You're also not tall.
No.
I don't have to come really taller.
It's
Looks like it's getting worse.
Yeah,
that's
better.
Yeah.
You,
that's
how
better it's getting now.
I don't know.
Yeah, hold it.
Yeah, I think
it's better.
Can
you
keep
the
window open?
It's much better.
Keep the window open.
These are fixed.
Window
fixed. Somewhere is very few.
Yeah, kids will jump from it.
So, yeah, so here, right? So, this one, Prabhupada is talking about the word samadhi, especially he's telling. Have you heard many times people, you know, they went to samadhi and all?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can. You can understand the meaning of samadhi. What's the real meaning of samadhi in this? This should be the
criteria. The final stage of the Ashtanga Yoga. Out of the Ashtanga 8 phases of this,
yeah,
final stage.
Yeah. So so if somebody says, you know, I'm in samadhi or I'm into samadhi, this should be the.
But the real world connotation is, we say the tomb of the person is a samadhi, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Who are, you know,
bury
them,
yeah.
They say
mm-hmm.
samadhi.
Samadhi.
But in spiritual this terms, yeah, samadhi means they have become liberated.
Yeah.
Liberated. And here, what's that liberation? What is that samadhi means? Actually, the samadhi means the person who is completely engaged in the full time, 24 hours a day, who is engaging Krishna consciousness. So that person is, can be called that he is in samadhi. No, it's samadhi is not that, you know, when you leave the body.
Yeah,
it's
but,
not.
But
see,
that's
here.
That's what people say, right?
Correct.
That's what people.
Yeah.
That's why. See, you can understand very clearly what the samadhi. So you can be in samadhi if you are engaged 24 hours a day. Now you see, in Krishna consciousness service, you are called.
So is there a reference to any scripture which actually describes this explanation?
Yes, Prabhupada. You should be. Yeah. I don't know exactly where, but one good thing about Prabhupada, any line you take,
yeah,
it always refers to scriptures. So for sure it will be there. Yeah, you can find, if you go to another, you know, books of acharyas and all, I'm pretty sure they would have referred to different. Yeah. And the criteria is telling here, no, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, one is eternally the servant of Krishna, and that one's only business is to discharge one's duty in Krishna consciousness. So that's the. So the next one will come. So here, Prabhupada says one has to carry out the orders of Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. So the next verse will describe, very important for all of us, because, you know, at some point of time, you know, most of us will decide, you know, I want to take initiation, because that's how you can get linked into the Guru Parampara. That's how the mercy flows, right? That's how. Parampara praptam, right? Evam parampara praptam. That's a disciplic succession. So if you want to be in the disciplic succession, so you take initiation. Because basically you surrender to some authority. The main thing is you surrender to authority. And that's the only way you can show that you are
ready for
humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. How will you, if somebody says something for you to do, order, if you are not humble and if you are not, you know, surrendered, you will not do. Basically, you will not be accountable. you say, you know, I can do it or I cannot do it. Like, you know, you can escape. But usually, you know, if you are serious and all, usually you take initiation or you accept a spiritual master. Then you know somebody else, I will be accountable. They will tell, you know, somebody will keep asking you, how is your spiritual progress, you know. Then you will be, you know, you have to really tell them. You cannot hide or, you know, in spiritual life you don't, you know, try to escape and all. You have to tell the facts. But if you don't have anybody to held responsible, then, you know, you can skip. One day I chant a 16 round, other day, you know, nobody is, you know, who will listen? I don't have to be. So that's the next. So next thing, that's what Arjuna is going to ask Krishna. So who is that person? How can he recognize some person who is in that spiritual platform? I think that's called Sita Pragna. So that's what Arjuna is asking. Basically in text 33, he is telling, you know, then you will have attained the divine consciousness, right? Samadhi is talking about the person who has attained the divine consciousness. Then he wants to, Arjuna wants to know, what are the characteristics or a symptoms of a person who is in the divine consciousness. So so text 54 is very important in the sense for us, right? To select a spiritual master. That's a very, very important one. So we'll read text 54 together.
I have an app here with audio of shlokam, if you want to hear.
The recitation?
Yeah.
You can play. Can you play for text 54? It's a tough one, but it's, you know, it can be sung.
Yeah,
so sweet.
Yes,
so sweet.
As compared to what we do.
I think somebody has to, you know, take up the assignment and practice and teach all of us.
Swami Prabhuji can take.
He's already doing that.
Yeah. But we cannot make, because everybody is selling, no? That's why we are not able to. Otherwise, he's doing nice. Okay, so we'll recite text 54. Arjuna vacha stita prajnasya kaha samadhi sasya keshava stita li kim prabhasheta kim asita prajeta kim. We are close. Arjuna vacha stita prajnasya kaha samadhistasya keshava stitadi kim prabhaseta kim asita prajeta kim. Very nice.
Yeah.
Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? And what is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk?
Okay, very interesting, right? So they, in this one, there are four questions. So the first one is, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? So that's
fully
the
self-realized, or
yeah, fully self-realized person who is in divine consciousness.
Okay.
Who is completely spiritual person, right? Who is completely spiritual, no tinge of material desires. So these are the symptoms of that kind of a person. So that's the first one. The second question is, how does he speak and what is his language? So that's the second question. Third question is, how does he sit? And the fourth question is, how does he walk? So there can be two meanings in this. One is literal meaning. You can just take as it is. How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? Of a spiritual person who is completely spiritual. Then the acharyas gives much more deeper meaning to the same thing. So for example here, how does he speak? That means, how does he speak and what is language? So they say, how does he speak means, what is his behavior? Or how does he respond when somebody, you know, chastises him? Somebody, you know, in anger they say something. Or how does he see, how does he respond when somebody praises him? Right? So what's his response? No, that's the more deeper meaning. One thing is, of course, for sure, how does he speak? That's one meaning. Other meaning is, how does he respond back? What is his characteristic? That's one thing. And how does he sit? I don't know. His literal meaning is, how does he, you know?
So if you see the word by word translation, it says, like, Asita does remain still. I mean, how does he remain still, right?
How does he sit still?
Yeah, so still means, I mean, the meaning.
Yeah, so
says, you know, how do you really maintain? How you're so cool and calm?
Yeah, so for that, the deeper meaning is, the other understanding of that is, how does he sit or how does he still, right? So how do you restrain your senses?
Yeah.
So how does he not engage your senses when you are, you know, like put into some difficult or some, I would say some activity where, you know, instead of getting agitated, how do you control your senses? How does it sit mean? Yeah. How will you restrain your senses? That's another deeper meaning for that. And how does he walk? One literal meaning is, how does, you know, person walk? And the other the other meaning is, how will he engage his senses? Walking, what he does, you know, where do you go? Especially when you walk, where do you go? Whether you go to movie theater or you go to temple, like that, you know. So that's the acharyas, that's how they divide. One is, you know, literal meaning, and one is more deeper or hidden meaning.
So walk, and does it mean like, how does he conduct himself?
Yeah, like engaging your senses. That's the... So we can read, yeah, we'll read, yeah. This is very wonderful, you can see, you know, I always like this one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
As there are symptoms for each and every man, in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is in Krishna conscious has his particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. As a rich man has his symptoms by which he is known as a rich man, as a diseased man has his symptoms by which he is known as diseased, or as a learned man has his symptoms, so a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings.
So we all agree, right?
Yeah.
It's so practical. You know, the rich man you can make out rich, and the diseased man you can tell somebody is diseased, and the learned man you can make out who is learned. And also Prabhupada is saying, very, we face a Krishna consciousness, so there are some characteristics or symptoms you can make out. So, you know, when you come across, if somebody says, you know, like spiritual, this is very important in practical terms about when your time, or, you know, you decide to select somebody, so you should put all this, you should write down somewhere, is this person fits all this, you know, does he have all the symptoms? So you can checklist, you know, you can have a checklist, this person either he matches all this, because you don't want to get blindly, you know, you don't want to follow somebody blindly, because it's very disastrous and you will lose faith in God, and, you know, and not just that, you will start preaching also to others, no, this has happened, you'll go against it.
All the spiritual masters would have all this qualification, right?
Maybe not. There are a lot of cases in ISKCON, you know, some people they took up sannyas, even they are not qualified. But you can always, that's why, you know, so they can act, and of course Prabhupada says in that one, so you can act so nicely, you know, or you can show a good behavior and all, but at some point, you know, you convince people, you start convincing people, and you can take, you know, sannyas order also, no, based on the trust, because spiritual life, you know, especially it works on faith, right? You need to have faith, because here nothing, you know, you cannot see everything. It's not seeing is believing, right? It's a lot of things, it's faith. You need to have a strong faith and you believe in something, or of course if you read scriptures you get that faith. It's not blind faith. It's so then you select some spiritual master. In this one only it happened here. So there are there's some sannyasis who took up the position of initiating others. Then after that, sometime, you know, maybe 25, 30 years, can you imagine following the Krishna consciousness and doing all the services for 25, 30 years? After that, they get, they ended up having, you know, extra the relationship with some ladies outside somewhere, and they fall down. But that's why, so if you know all this, if somebody is following all this strictly, you can make out. It's not that, you know, the chances of somebody following all this, falling down, is very, very rare. But somebody who doesn't follow, try to hide stuff and all, right? So then they will usually they fall down after some time. So that's why, you know, we don't want to blindly follow somebody. But you can be careful, you can watch out, you know. If you want to approach somebody, you have to watch them, you know. What's their behavior, and what are their senses are engaged. When there is some provoking situation, how do they act? So based on that, you should be able to decide on your own. Because in spiritual life, you cannot blame others. You have to take responsibility, because you are making the decision, right? So you have to take your responsibility for your decision. That's why it's a gradual process.
And I mean, in the lineage that we read in the introduction, there is like, you know, this
disciplic succession.
Krishna,
yeah.
And all is the disciplic succession.
Yeah, parampara. Yeah.
So in ISKCON,
yeah.
If there are like lot of swamijis, you know, or
sannyasis, yeah.
Who actually, so if they are spiritual masters, so then where do they stand in that disciplic succession then? Because it was always Prabhupada who had come from ISKCON. Are there?
Yeah,
right.
Prabhupada.
So is there like someone?
The Prabhupada God brothers, or after Prabhupada, you meant?
After Prabhupada, right? Because yeah, there are Prabhupada Godfathers, but God brothers are, but we haven't seen that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We have not really read any
books
and all.
No, they are
so
also.
Similarly, so after Prabhupada, so are there like sannyasis and spiritual masters within ISKCON who are in that?
It's always group of, it's not going to be one person.
Okay.
Like for example, the disciplic succession. So I think somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, are you going to have somebody, this one person after him,
yeah,
taking up the responsibility? Prabhupada said no, it should be, you know, it's a group of sannyasis or devotees. So you will not say, you know, nobody will, or you will not come across where after Prabhupada, they will have somebody, you know, specific person taking the responsibility. No, Prabhupada is the last person, and he is going to be the Siksha Guru. Yeah, he's going to be the Siksha Guru for everybody else. So there are two gurus, right?
Yeah.
One
yes,
can be Siksha Guru and one can be Riksha Guru. And both are on the same platform.
Okay.
It's not that Diksha Guru is more important than Siksha Guru. That's a very wrong misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So you should treat both Siksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus on the same level. And you can have many more Siksha Gurus. But Diksha is the one who is officially who is going to give you the
initiation,
and who will take your karmas also, like, you know, whatever you have done, he puts, you know, on behalf of us, he takes that actions or reactions for that. There is much more discussion,
yeah,
in that, but that's where the other, so he,
can you do that, Prabhu? Can you transfer your karmas?
Yeah, that's what what they say is, it's put on hold. When you take the initiation, whatever you have done, all this, it's put on hold, the reactions. But when you start doing it again, you know, all the nonsense stuff, again it will come back to you. But that will affect the spiritual master also, because he took the responsibility to guide you. So he is taking the risk actually. It's not that they are not at risk. So they take risk also. Yeah, so after Prabhupada, it's going to be a group, like all of us. It said that, you know, all of us are part of it. That's how it's going. It's branch. Hmm. It's going to be a branch.
That was this idea. I think Romapada Prabhu Nishabhu Swami. He spoke.
It's called governing body.
Yes.
Governing GBC, governing body.
Control. So you're speaking about that, so that there is not one person, but you know.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Because Prabhupada knew, because nobody is really qualified, so they will mess up. That's a general tendency actually. If you give somebody full power and the responsibility, they will misuse. So he knew where we stand, so that's why he did that GBC. So that way, you know, there will be, I don't know how many members are currently, but that's a group of sannyasis, very, you know, highly spiritual, with the potency. They are practicing for 40-50 years, so they are all on that board. So any decision has to be made, they make it in a group. So that way, you know, not one person, because they have seen people who are in that position also falling down. So
easy to fall down.
Very, very easy. Even after following 40 years, you can go back to the material way of life. You can give up your spiritual life. Harivilas Prabhu gave one example, right, in the Why Study Bhagavati, I think first class, I think, if I remember, the introduction class,
mm-hmm.
He told, he is practicing for 46 years or something, he told it's a free will, right, everybody has a free will. So today he told, I can make a decision, I can tell, I'm not going to temple from today, I can go to a pub and enjoy. You can make the decision, you have that free will. Because nobody is going to stop you. Nobody can actually. Even Krishna will not interfere in your free will. He will let you go. So that's how powerful. So when you get power and you get a lot of followers, especially, you know, if you have followers, if who are following you, you know, who will treat you as a god. Because spiritual master and Krishna, everybody is treated at the same level. There's no difference. We don't treat, you know, it's, we do the same respect like that. So when you have especially the followers, you get puffed up. You automatically become puffed up because you think you are
God. Powerful.
Yes, because you have followers, you think you have become God.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful. Very powerful, that, you know. And the other way, we have to watch out at every step, and we should always remember we are always eternal servants. That's why it's called Dasanu 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 Das, right? So even Prabhupada always thinks he is servant of his spiritual master. He never says, you know, I wrote Bhagavad Gita, or, you know, I translated Bhagavad Gita. We never say. In the translation we read, right, the preface or somewhere, even in that he says, the only credit he can take is, he did not
change.
He did not alter anything. And he gives all the credit to his spiritual master. That's how we always have to, always we have to remind ourselves every day. Because I'm pretty sure one of, you know, all of us, somebody is going to come and ask about Bhagavad Gita, and you are going to give knowledge. Basically, you are taking a position of like a Siksha Guru. You are taking, because you are giving some guidance. So you are taking position of Siksha Guru. Somebody will come and ask you. So you should be very careful. You do it, your duty as a servant. You can be a servant leader, right? You can be a leader, but you can be a servant leader. That's how it's called. You can be a servant leader. So you do it as a, you know, as a duty. Guide them nicely, but don't expect that, you know, you are guiding them. So I am a Siksha Guru. So they should be under my control, you know, every time like that. No, it comes, it's very natural many times.
So difficult to control our senses. How are you going to control
them? No, it will, you know, you will all notice. If somebody comes and asks you, you know, can you tell what is this Bhagavad Gita, you understood? Automatically you take a position of a teacher. Then once that person get convinced something, then that person will start treating you as a, you know, very this thing, right? Very good position. He thinks, you know, you have a with respect, he thinks, you know some stuff. But lot of times end up that person taking advantage of it. So you should be very careful. Very, very easy. It comes out. With instinct will just come like that. I have one student. No, I'm teaching like that.
Power.
So that's why from next time, you know, you should never tell somebody, you know, he's my guru, he's teaching me Bhagavad Gita. Don't tell all those things. It's a request for all of you. Yeah. I don't want to get puffed up, you know. I don't want to go away from spirituality.
So what should we say then?
He's just a friend. I'm learning from, you know, we are just having a discussion. He's leading the discussion. That's all.
Well, it's just a matter of playing with the words, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, what matters is the intent.
Sorry, Prabhu.
No, no.
Yeah,
I'm just telling.
The thing is, the intention is very difficult to make the intention with the words itself, right?
Even though we are calling as a Shiksha Guru, there's no wrong thing, right?
No, maybe nothing
wrong
for you.
But you are modest, right? I mean, what you are discussing is, hey, okay, if you are teaching us, then you would like to definitely control that urge of being that proprietorship or I'm the leader.
Yes,
and all, right?
Of course.
Which
I
you are
want
controlling.
To. Yeah, I want to.
Fine.
It's making.
Yeah, don't make.
You will make more rough.
Yeah.
Like,
okay,
not tough.
We will put it another way. So, how you are calling your Shiksha Guru?
Who?
You are calling. So, you are not calling them Shiksha Guru?
I don't call them Shiksha Guru for sure, but that's a difference.
Means guru means teacher or something.
No, that's a big difference. You know, the for me and them
is
a big difference. No, that's
and
what I'm telling.
To whom we'll be saying also, he will also be same level as us.
No, it's not. That's what I am. No, I know where I stand.
Yeah.
So I feel we are all on, you know, same platform. It's not, I don't see any, because I'm also learning. Every time before I come to class, I prepare myself to, you know, at least to say something. It's not that I know already something, I can just talk, you know, whatever I want, not like that. So we are all just friends, good, you know, discussing, having a good discussion, that's all. And if you have any question, you can go to Arivilas Prabhu and talk. That's the only thing, Okay,
no, but Arjuna said, like, now friends cannot solve the problem, you need a teacher.
Yeah, that's, you have to talk to Arivilas Prabhu. That's
no,
Arivilas Prabhu's problem.
My intent was that we are with teacher.
Yeah, Arivilas Prabhu is teacher, so you can talk to him.
Okay.
So the sannyasis who give initiation,
yes,
do they also make sure that we are ready, like, you know, how they, I'm sure they are like looking
yes.
at
this, yeah,
making
yeah.
sure that
so what ready. They do is usually in this temple, because Arivilas Prabhu is the temple president,
mm-hmm.
so they contact Arivilas Prabhu and they take reference from him and they ask, you know, is this person, you know, coming to temple regularly,
mm-hmm.
is they doing service,
mm-hmm.
and you know, same, so they will also ask same symptoms. So is they following all the principles, you know, for real. So then Arivilas Prabhu, if you have to approach him, that's why before initiation you have to approach him. He's the authority in the temple. So once he knows, you know, what you are doing, everything, then it's up to him actually. You cannot make you know, choice or decision. He has to tell the sannyasi that yes, this person is qualified, and safely, you know, you can give him initiation. So it's a kind of a two-way process, yeah.
You are also probably in the initiation committee, right?
Not in committee, I'm just like an assistant.
Consultant.
No, assistant. Like if Arivilas Prabhu wants some information, I can, for example, if he wants to know more about you, I need to find about you and I need to give it, give. That's like a spy. So I mean, no, I can do the detective work. I'm just the assistant for Arivilas Prabhu. Where did we stop, Prabhu? Okay.
Should I continue?
Yeah.
One can know his specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks.
This is very, very important. You can always remember this sentence. It's very beautiful. Yeah, help.
For speech is the most important quality of any man. It is said that a fool is undiscovered as long as he does not speak.
You are putting me in the spot. No, nobody knows. If I start, gone.
No, don't worry. One day I will make all of you talk, so then we can make out.
Certainly, a well-dressed fool cannot be identified unless he speaks.
See, very true, very much true. Because I'm still like that.
This is very true in the workplace, right?
Work also, here
anyway.
Also. Yeah, I fit in this, my sentence. Okay, bro.
But as soon as he speaks, he reveals himself at once.
Because he cannot hide, right? When you talk, you cannot really hide. Arivilas Prabhu told, if you go talk to him, he can tell you what kind of person just in 1 or 2 minutes. If you have a conversation with him, you just give him 2 minutes, he can find out what kind of person you are. Just 2 minutes. He can make you reveal. He has that much of, you know, insight. He can go really deep, bring out your our foolishness, you know, you can easily, you can make out where we stand. So especially when you go to take initiation, right? That's why it takes longer time. They don't immediately commit, right? You have to give the, we have 1 year like a waiting period.
Oh.
Yeah, we have 1 year waiting period.
Probation.
Yeah, like a probation kind of thing. So if you are interested, if you go talk to Arivilas Prabhu, right? He will not tell you, oh yeah, yeah, you are qualified. I will recommend. He will never tell. He will tell, okay, it's good. He will say, you know, it's good. So that's all he will tell. Then, you know, you give some time. Then after that, again, you go and ask. Then he will tell. Because he'll, by that time, he would have, you know. He knows how the...
So if you follow all the regulative principles and you chant and all, so why do you need initiation?
That's why, right? So it's always through disciplic succession. You need to get connected. So what Prabhupada gives example is, you are in, the electric circuit, the line, electric line. Only when you plug in the bulb, then only it gives you the output.
So let me rephrase the question, Prabhu. I think I know
Prabhu wants to ask. Why you need a spiritual master?
No, that's not what I'm asking. So
that's what Prabhu
let's say you get initiated, right?
Yeah.
So right now, let's say Prabhu is chanting already 8 rounds, Prabhu is chanting 12 rounds, right?
16 rounds.
So then they say they progress to 16 rounds,
yeah.
Right? And then they already don't eat meat. They do all the
yeah.
So what extra are you getting from initiation?
The mercy. That's why it's you. So that's why this example of putting a light into the. So you get connected to the source. The electricity is flowing. It's just that when you want to hook up to that the line. See, you have some instrument, like, you know, something, fan or something. So you can be fan by yourself. Only when you want to make it work, you want to get it hooked it to
yeah.
the outlet.
Right.
So then you connect it to the source.
Yeah.
So same thing in spiritual life. If you, it's all mercy. So the spiritual life, you know, it's a descending process.
But totally understand that. But the point is, like, let's say
it's the same thing you're following.
Yeah,
you said you're following.
Like whenever the sannyasi is, we are serving him and doing all
yes.
that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But with initiation, yeah, you get a name.
Yeah.
There is some rituals that is done in order to, like, you know,
rituals
completely surrender. Yeah.
No, we do the fire ignar, right?
Yeah, so there is a yagya.
During the
initiation.
Because
it's a Vishnu, you are going to promise in front of the... It's a Vishnu, Yagna is Vishnu.
Okay.
So you are going to make a promise that you are going to chant 16 rounds, you are going to follow 4 regulative principles. So
basically it's kind of now we are following, but now we are after initiation...
We are formalizing.
Yeah. It's more binding on you, right?
We are more formalizing.
Kind of yes, we'll not...
Yeah, like you have so many discussions everywhere, right? But then only when you want to write it to a constitution, like, you know, it's like you formalize things.
This is dating,
it's like formalizing.
This is marriage.
But you can still have a spiritual master even if you are not initiated, right?
Siksha Guru.
Like a Siksha Guru.
Yeah.
So
you can have a Siksha Guru.
Within Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, I mean...
No, Siksha Guru is the one.
That's what you are trying
see,
to get, right?
Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru, you know, understand that too.
No,
they are on the same level.
But
Diksha Guru is the one who takes the responsibility to deliver you to the Godhead. Go back to Godhead. He is the one who is going to take the responsibility. Like basically, you are going to go to the, you are going to sign up for a class, right? In your college or MBA program. So you are going to be held responsible. Now you are submitting to a professor, right? So that professor will give you assignments. You cannot tell one time, oh, I don't want to do assignments.
No.
I just want the grade. You will not. So same thing here. So the spiritual Siksha Guru, usually they guide. They just give guidance. You do this, you do this. But the Diksha Guru is the one who is kind, you know, tell you to do it. He has authority on you because you promised or, you know, you have that faith. You are committed to that person, so he has the authority on you to strictly tell, you know, you are
to
make you be on the path, on the track. Basically, their spiritual masters are like a rail track. Without rail, the train will, you know, go here and there. So they are just like a rail track, so they make sure they go on the path. And the other thing is, so the spiritual master Diksha Guru will promise Krishna that, you know, I'm taking the responsibility to deliver this person. So he asks Krishna to put a stop on your reactions. whatever karma, whatever you carry, the baggage, so there will be a stop. You don't get reactions for that. So based on the request of Diksha Guru, then it, that's why they put this up. That's according to the scripture. That's how it works. Diksha Guru, Diksha Guru. That's why they, because whenever you do something, even after, you know, initiation, any nonsense and all, your spiritual master gets affected. Because it affects him. Because he took the responsibility, it affects him. It does affect.
Only Diksha Guru is affected, not the Shiksha Guru.
Not the Shiksha Guru, because they are the one who is formalizing the relationship. And,
So once we take this initiation, right, do we like become a disciple of...
Yeah, because you are accepting somebody as a guru, so naturally you will become a disciple. Disciple means the one who agrees to be disciplined. They are
so
called
we
disciple.
Become the disciple of the Diksha Guru and not Prabhupada as such, right?
No, Prabhupada is Siksha Guru for everybody. Whoever comes for me, right? I have a Diksha Guru. I have taken initiation from one person.
Mm-hmm.
But Prabhupada is my Siksha Guru.
Okay.
So they are on the same. The Diksha Guru cannot tell something which Prabhupada has not told.
Mm.
They are on the same this thing. You know, he has to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Because Prabhupada is their guru.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, but the disciplic succession which came along, they were like all Shiksha Gurus of each other, is it?
Yes. They can be Shiksha Gurus or they can be Diksha Gurus also.
Oh, yeah.
See, Prabhupada had this guru, Prabhupada took initiation from his guru.
Okay.
So he is a Diksha.
Hmm.
But if I remember, Prabhupada's guru, he is not directly, he didn't take direct initiation. He was just a Shiksha Guru. So in the disciplic succession, they can be, one can be spiritual Diksha Guru, one can be Siksha Guru.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah. So, you need not personally meet the Siksha Guru to be his disciple, right?
You cannot take initiation from Siksha Guru.
Yeah.
You cannot. You have to take initiation from only Diksha Guru, and that Diksha Guru can be only one person.
Correct, but then you can be a disciple of a person whom you haven't met, I mean through his books or something, or through his teachings.
It's not recommended.
No,
but that
we are doing
it.
That's what
that would be Siksha Guru.
Siksha Guru.
Siksha Guru.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Diksha Guru.
I said Siksha.
Siksha Guru, anybody, you know,
like
too
many relationships.
Yeah, yeah. No, if I'm reading, because we hear a lot of lectures from maybe, you know, somebody, there is a person called Bhakti Rasamrita Swami.
Yeah.
He is from Belgaum. He stays in Belgaum now.
Okay.
I listen a lot of Bhagavad Gita lectures from him.
Mm.
So I will treat him as a Siksha Guru because I'm learning from him.
Mm.
So that is, yeah. That's the other point I. Yeah, so there is another point, anyway, since we are talking to this, it's very important, you know, to know the difference, you know, somebody doesn't, you know, make you follow wrongly and all. So somebody told, can we take Prabhupada himself as a Diksha Guru? Can we?
Not now. Previously, it was like, if we had to take,
Because he has to agree to accept you, right? But
yes.
He's not here, so
yes.
He's not.
So there is a group of people who still does that, who still follows. So they, whenever they take, you know, they won't take initiation, they say, you know, Prabhupada is my Diksha Guru. So as Prabhu said, so if you cannot force somebody to give initiation to you. No, that person should know what kind of person you are, you know, they should know personally. Otherwise, you know, you cannot force him, you know, because Prabhupada is not personally present here. You cannot take, you know, first of all, we don't even have qualification to take initiation from Prabhupada. And we are assuming, you know, we are qualified to take from initiation and forcing from take initiation from him. So that's why Siksha Guru is, you should have a personal contact. You should know you very well. Then only you can take initiation, Diksha Guru especially.
Those group of people, they are just considering mentally that they got initiated from group.
Yes, they are doing. There is a group. Yeah, don't. Yeah, they will.
In
maybe will come. They are not part of ISKCON, but there is a separate, you know, small group of people who does that.
But they follow Prabhupada's teaching and everything.
No, they are disciple. One is disciple of Prabhupada only. After that, you know, he is doing all this different group for the fame. Especially, you know, you will have followers.
Separate
right?
from ISKCON, I guess.
Yeah, there are. you will find, see, you find lot of things.
Imagination, right?
Yeah, you can, you know, you spiritual life especially, you can find all kind of variation. Yeah, no, yeah, of course, yeah. So you do find lot of variations. It's just that, that's why Prabhupada named it Bhagavad Gita as it is. So when you know, no, that's why knowledge is very important. That's why, you know, it's not blind following. The knowledge and detachment. Once you have a knowledge, then automatically, you know, you can detach and you can practice spiritual life. So we can finish. I think we are done, no?
Yeah. The immediate symptom of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Other symptoms then automatically follow as stated below.
Okay. This is, you know, how does he speak, or, you know, what is his language? So he always talks about
Krishna.
There's nothing else. Any activity, you know, always about Krishna. And the next text 55, that's answer to, so four questions Arjuna asked. So then Krishna is going to answer that four questions. So the next verse, at the end of the, until end of the chapter, that's what, whatever the four questions, he is going to answer in this. So the text 55 is answer to the question, the symptoms of, yeah, there are four questions, right? So the text 55 is question, answer to the first question. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence?
There are five questions actually.
Yeah. It's considered four. Yeah.
Symptoms, how he speaks, what is language.
That's together.
What does it say? You explained normally?
Huh?
Which symptom you explained in the beginning
of the first question? No, the first question, right? You got the first question?
What is the answer you said earlier?
Text 55 is the answer for that.
Earlier you explained one word for every question as the answer, right?
No, that's not the answer.
Okay,
the inner, I said, right, one is literal meaning and one is deeper or inner meaning of that. I didn't discuss about answer. Text 55, Krishna will give you the answer. We'll just listen. Okay, Prabhu, we'll stop.